It's JFM's Championship Sunday.
Ultimately, we're just trying to add a little bit to the legacy probably of the Dublin teams of the 70s who created all this, and we do stand on their shoulders.
No matter what we've gone on to do, I'm Jack Healy's son.
Whatever system you want to call it.
Today FM's Championship Sunday with Boyle Sports. Time to play. Today FM.
How's it going? Good morning and welcome to Championship Sunday with Boyle Sports. I'm Nathan Murphy. Well, what an evening it was at Croke Park as Galway and Clare produced one of the great All-Ireland hurling semi-finals. 62 scores in an incredible 90-something minutes of hurling as Jason McCarthy's last gasp score rescued a 130-130 draw for Clare. That means the two counties will have to do it all over again next Sunday afternoon at Semple Stadium in Thurles. And of course, last night's game was only the warm-up for this afternoon's much-anticipated clash of Cork and Limerick at 3:30. If you're up and at it earlier this morning, do get in touch. Maybe you're still rolling out of coppers after last night's entertainment at Croke Park. Or if you're on the road early from Cork and Limerick, we'd love to get your thoughts on what you're expecting today. 087 4100 102 is the number for texts and WhatsApp messages. And we have two great guests with us in studio bright and early this morning. Our first guest is one of the most decorated hurlers of all time. All-Ireland titles at minor and under 21 level were the precursor for an unbelievable run at senior level where he won 8 All-Ireland titles. A couple of All-Stars in the trophy cabinet as well. Great to welcome to Championship Sunday, Richie Power.
Cheers, Nathan. Thanks very much.
You were involved in quite a few humdingers down through the years with Kilkenny, but yesterday probably is absorbing a game as we've seen at Croke Park in recent times.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone looking forward to this weekend might have said that today's game had, the makings of a cracker. But yesterday's game was just, it had everything, absolutely everything. It had, you know, great goals, last-minute points, excitement. And, you know, I think Clare kind of really, built on the memories of 2013, you know, and that point at the end by Jason McCarthy was very similar to Donal O'Donovan. So, you know, it's all set up for a humdinger of a replay next Sunday.
When you're sitting in Croke Park and you're seeing how the crowd are involved in a game and the ebb and the flow and as momentum goes from one team to another, do you ever think back to, God, I was out there, I was in the middle of this, and maybe appreciate what it was like for the supporters having to watch on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I suppose looking at games like yesterday, you'd love to be out there again, you know, and involved in classic games like that, because, you know, it's energy sapping, it's to and fro, and it's, you know, one team is having their moments of dominance and then it kind of changes around. And, you know, for supporters, you know, look, I think yesterday just proved even more that it's the best game in the world. It's the fastest game in the world, it's the most skillful game in the world. And, you know, to have two heavyweights like that going at it for 93, 94 minutes, you know, me as a supporter of hurling, that's exactly what you want to see. And, you know, here's hoping for very much the same today.
When you look back over the decade or so with the seniors in Kilkenny and the 8 All-Ireland titles, is there one game that stands out? Is it the final against Tip when you yourself and the brother got the couple of goals?
I think so, but probably more so the replay. You know, I suppose similar to yesterday, you know, you have to go and do it all again in you know, 2 weeks' time, as it turned out in 2014. But I remember the first day, you know, against Tipperary that year, and, you know, again, it had probably go down as one of the best All-Irelands ever because of the amount of scores and the free-flowing hurling in it. And it was just that last, I suppose, free that Bubbles O'Dwyer had, and, you know, we were looking, staring down the barrel of a defeat. And I suppose, luckily enough for Hawkeye, it was introduced, I think, that year. It could have been, I'm not sure. But, you know, without Hawkeye, I think we may have come out the wrong end of that result. So that was absorbing. And again, the key thing after that was recovery. And I think both managers kind of touched on that after the game yesterday. I think that's going to be the most crucial thing over the next kind of 6 to 7 days for both sets of players.
Well, Hawkeye was working overtime during yesterday's game and played a crucial role in the match as well. We'll talk about some of the main talking points from the game very shortly. But I want to introduce our second guest, who's regarded as one of the best players never to win an All-Ireland title. He was a key part of the Antrim team that reached their only All-Ireland final of the last 75 years back in 1989. When the stunning win over Offaly in the All-Ireland semi-final set up a decider against the Nicky English-inspired Tipperary. He's now into his third decade of service with the Antrim senior, still prowling the sidelines as joint manager of the county senior hurlers. Welcome to Championship Sunday, Terence McNaughton.
Thanks very much.
You're down for the weekend. You enjoyed that last night?
Yeah, the game last night alone was worth the 300-mile round trip. an outstanding game last night, and as Richie says, at everything and at everything you'd want from Hurling, and Hurling's been fantastic this year, and hopefully today just carries it on.
You are still involved with Antrim. You've come up against Limerick, you came up against Galway this year in Division 1B. When you're at a game like that, do you sit back, relax and take it for what it is, or have you always got an analytical mind trying to work things out, see what the two managers are doing?
No, I don't think relax and Hurling go together. I think we played Galway actually in the first game this year, and it was one of our best performances. Galway were in their home ground and not there, and we give them a real good rattle. But I've said all year I had a real fancy for Limerick this year. They're the one team that just looked a different class when we met them. Obviously Galway was the first game, they weren't riding it there, but when we met Limerick, I think they were about 10 short, and even the panel they had, and I knew the names that weren't there and not there. I thought of, and I always, from the very start of the year, I've been saying to people, Limerick's going to cause an upset somewhere down here. They're going to take some beating.
We want to talk to you as well about your year with Antrim before we finish up, and the Joe McDonagh Cup and your thoughts and all that. But we might get into last night's game first. But I do want to give our listeners a chance to win some tickets, with thanks to the GEA, to one of next weekend's All-Ireland Super 8 clashes. To be given a chance to win, answer this question now to 087 4100 102 on text or WhatsApp. Just tell us who is the Galway hurling manager. We will announce the winner later on in the hour. So there's only one place to start. The greatest game in the greatest year in the greatest sport is how Eamon Sweeney described it in this morning's Sunday Independent, talking about Galway and Clare's epic draw in Croke Park. There was little in the opening 15 minutes to suggest the drama that was to follow, as a goal early for Galway helped them into a 9-point lead. Clare, though, gnawed their way back into the game. A wonder point from Peter Duggan helped the Banner force the game into extra time. And Aaron Shanahan's goal looked as though it may send the All-Ireland champions crashing out. But Galway responded. They led by one in the 93rd minute. However, Clare held their nerve, and Jason McCarthy sent over an equalising score to send the game to a replay, which will take place at Semple Stadium in Thurles next Sunday at 2 o'clock. Here are the thoughts of the Galway manager, Micheál Donoghue.
Oh, yeah, look, absolutely. You know, I think our boys showed massive heart, great commitment, you know, everything that we'd expect of them. And look, I think both teams will reflect and maybe looked at some missed opportunities. But as I said, you can't question the endeavour of both teams. And as I said, maybe at the end of the day, a draw was a fair result, but we go again. A game of this magnitude, you know, there's a lot at stake, and, you know, the prize is massive. So look, in fairness to Clare, they came right back into the game. Yes, we did get a good start, missed a few opportunities, but look, you know, they did as well, maybe in the latter stages of the game as well. So look, I think just towards the end of it, it could have gone either way, and probably a draw was a fair result. But, you know, really proud of the effort of our boys. You know, the goal after half time, you know, we went straight down and got a score, which showed massive character. And, you know, we picked up a few knocks, and the lads that came in made massive contributions, which is really positive for the whole group. And, you know, we always hammered that it's the collective, you know, that stands to us. And, you know, that was really evident today with the boys that came in, massive contribution. Look, Joe is a massive, massive player for us, you know, but, you know, he's just one of 35 lads that we have on the squad. So it's just paramount that we get all the injured lads back onto the field as quick as we can.
Yeah, that Micheál Donoghue after yesterday's game. It was one of those matches you'd just be shattered from watching. But what was it like to play in? Here's Clare forward John Conlon.
It was exhilarating stuff for the, you know, all players playing in the field. And even James Skettle at the end there, for, you know, just a minute ago, he said, you know, no one deserves to lose the game. And, you know, thankfully Jason got the point at the end to draw it for us and give us another day out. And look, we're all looking forward again to Thurles next week. Before the match, we went out and had a walk around the field, and these are the days you want to enjoy. Like, and so it's 10 years on the panel now, and you know, before I would have probably got anxious leading up to games, and as my girlfriend said to me last night, you're the most relaxed man I've ever met now in the last year or so. So look, I just, as I've been saying for the last, you know, year or two, just go out and enjoy it. And it might end tomorrow, you know, anything could happen. So these are the days to enjoy, and all your life, you know, trying to get to this stage. And I said just to everyone, just enjoy it, because you might never be back again.
Turning out to be a heck of a season for John Conlon. 4 points yesterday for the Clare forward as well. So many talking points. I want to touch on a couple of the scores though, Richie. Peter Duggan's wonder point deep into the second half. 4 or 5 lads hanging off him, one-handed flick, off balance, bang, over the bar, crucial moment of the game. Sort of thing you did for fun?
I wish. Yeah, look, absolutely. It was one of those kind of dream scores that I suppose you can only dream of, you know, in an All-Ireland semi-final. But, you know, in fairness to Peter Duggan, he's been a real go-to guy for Clare this year. you know, the name has been on a lot of people's lips over the last couple of years, you know, coming up through the underage ranks, and it was just a matter of time before he made the step up to senior level. And, you know, for a young guy to come in, take over the free taking duties and really step up, because, you know, in the first half when things were going against Clare, he was the guy to put his hand up. He won a couple of crucial puck outs, you know, scored a great score off his left side as well midway through the first half. So, you know, from that point of view, I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, he's front runner, you know, himself, front runner for an All-Star, absolutely. And then, you know, you look to the likes of your John Conlins, who in my opinion is, you know, definitely in the running for Hurler of the Year to now. And, you know, if he keeps going with the form he's shown, he's after having a fabulous year.
Peter Duggan had a bit of an off day against Wexford, but 14 points yesterday, 11 points from frees, and the difference that his free taking and his reliability has given Clare this season seems to have been part of their transformation, that they know now that when they force mistakes from opposition, that when they do get their frees from anywhere in the pitch, that they're going to take advantage of them.
Oh, it's a massive asset to have somebody that stands over a ball and you know it's going between the posts and out there. And I think maybe even from a Galway point of view, if Joe had been in the field, I'm sure a lot of Galway people are saying chances are that last free would have been over. But Duggan has been outstanding. He was just a joy to watch yesterday. Really, really was. And I honestly think that's the score of the year, the one you're talking about. I can't see anybody.
It was magic.
Oh, and especially when they replayed it in a big screen and that there. Live, it looked good. But whenever you've seen it in slow motion, the big screen again, it even looked better again.
Yeah, there's not much better than that gasp around Crow Park when everybody realises what's just happened. Yeah. The late score as well from Jason McCarthy, been compared obviously to Donal O'Donovan's monster score that brought the 2013 final against Cork to a replay. The composure though shown by Clare, we're into the 93rd minute of an absorbing, it must have been grueling, such a tiring game, to keep their heads, work it slowly up the pitch, not panic, not just go for the monster long ball forward. Does that really show how far this Clare team has come?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Like, Clare are really, really genuine contenders now. I thought it was their best performance of the year, without a doubt. And the line ball in the corner, people saying it should have been kept in play and all that, there was just a replay to 13. When you're on your day and out there, you need people with character and people with composure. And Clare just seemed to have it. They just seemed to, like, 9 points down, you know, they were entitled to throw the towel and they just kept plugging away and that there, and it was outstanding game.
Those closing seconds then, Richie, when Galway have that sideline and they go for the score and it goes over, it's a wonder score, you're the hero, but it doesn't work out and it allows Clare get back into the game. Was that a very poor error from Galway, or just understandable that you're always going to take on that shot and then for Clare to respond? Because that in itself was, I guess, Kilkenny-esque whenever something like this happens, to not panic in the closing stages.
I just couldn't understand the decision to take that shot on. You know, he was on the 14-yard line, clock ticking into the 94th minute with 3 minutes injury time supposed to be added. You know, put the ball to the corner, put it dead. You know, like, don't give Clare an opportunity to build an attack.
Is that where you're missing Joe Canning, where you're missing maybe Gareth McInerney, some of the senior players who'd gone off the pitch already, somebody to just calm everybody down?
Absolutely. I definitely 100% think that Joe Canning would not have taken that shot on. He would not have done it. He would have looked at the clock and seen that it was ticking into the 94th minute. Like, it was just, but, you know, you have to give huge credit to Clare, because I suppose I was looking at it and I was kind of saying, do pump it long. You have to pump it long. It's the time is ticking. Like, they take a sharp puck out, the referee could have blown the whistle. Do you know? But, you know, four passes later, it's over the bar at the other end and they're looking at a replay. And, you know, look, I'm sure Galway look at that. And, you know, as, you know, Terence said, it was very similar to Cork in 2013 when they done something similar, you know, and Clare built an attack and got the equalising score. So, you know, sometimes you learn from these mistakes and it should make Galway stronger going forward.
Mm. You mentioned, Terence, that, well, to be honest, I wasn't sure what we were going to spend 20, 25 minutes talking about today after watching the first 15 minutes, because Galway flew out of the blocks. Yeah. There were 9 points up after a quarter of an hour. Conor Cooney with that early goal. Or was it even Galway flying out of the blocks, or were Clare sort of stuck? They seemed to, the term startled earwigs, Pat Gilroy and the Dublin footballers came to mind, that they just seemed overwhelmed by the occasion even.
No, I think before the game, I think everybody in the bookies and all had Galway even money minus 5 points and that there. Like, I would say the majority of people in Ireland had Galway down for a one, and today could have been a draw and that there. But Galway started off and they're their big players were in song. Canning got a great point just right away, and that there, and Clinton out there, and the Glynn thing was working. He was causing a bit of havoc, even broke the goal up, or the ball for the goal, and that there. They were 9 points up, and maybe in hindsight that could have been a bad thing. I thought, yeah, they believed what people were saying, this is hype, but you've got to give, as Richie says, you've got to give fierce credit to Clare for the character they showed. They just kept plugging away and plugging away.
The one of the main issues, Richie, for Clare in those opening, particularly in the opening half, was their puck outs. They seemed nervous around them. The Galway players seemed to get inside the Clare players' heads. They managed to flip that completely and won practically all their puck outs from then on. What was the turning point? Was that just was it a tactical change, or was it just the goalkeeper coming to terms with what he was seeing in front of them?
I think it was a bit of both. You know, like, in fairness to Donal Toohey, they obviously set out their stall, you know, in training in the lead up to this game, that they were going to try and go short to try and bypass the Galway half back line. But to me, you know, when you look at it, when you have a guy like Peter Duggan on the half forward line, that's a guy you should be feeding with puck outs. You know, like, and he is very strong in the air. Okay, you can say the same about the Galway half back line, but to me, Peter Duggan got the better of Aidan Hart in the air. So, like, why did, you know, Donal Toohey try to go, I suppose, short? And if you go back over the first half in particular, probably three or four Galway scores came from short puckouts. You know, and you take those scores out of the game, you know, you have a completely different complexion on it. But in fairness to them, they looked at it. I think the management have to, you know, be given great credit. I suppose with the whole halftime thing, you know, keeping them in the dressing room and that. But look, they obviously looked at it. They changed things around, and you know, as Terence said, they fought their way back into the game. And you know, to do it by just tipping away at points is a huge achievement for, you know, people that say a young side, but they really came of age yesterday.
A lot of the build-up was around what they would do with David McInerney and Conor Cleary, which of them would play fullback, which of them would play centre-back. It turned out then that Colm Galvin ended up going in as a sweeper as a reaction to what was happening. Was that a key moment as well?
Yeah, the sweeper thing I struggled with, or all the crowd was struggling with, like, it worked for Clare a lot better than it did Galway. Galway's, I think they tried three sweepers over the day and that there. And I think if you compare who was on the ball the most, what sweeper, I'd say Clare had outnumbered Galway at least 5-1 and that there. But on the puck outs, in my opinion, it would be, I thought Galway's work rate dropped a bit. They worked really hard closing the puck outs down and closing people down. You could see them really high and tense. And that seemed to drop a wee bit, and especially in the second half of the game and that there. There wasn't that same intensity from the Galway half forward line, closing people down and not letting people break the tackling out there. Could be an argument.
Yeah, so the feeling heading into this game was that Galway had their wake-up call in the first day out in the Leinster final against Kilkenny. They had been compared to Kilkenny in their ruthlessness. Are there signs then, looking at the first game in the Leinster final, looking at the performance for maybe 60 of the 90 minutes yesterday, that they're not at the same level as last year?
No, look, I don't think you can say that either. You know, but what was very evident yesterday was Galway had no plan B, you know, which last year they did. You know, you look at the All-Ireland final last year, they set up to counteract the sweeper.
Mm.
So when Clare went with the sweeper role, you know, I would have straight away thought that, you know, that instinct would have set in with Galway and say, right, go back to, you know, what we done in the All-Ireland last year, start popping points from out the field. But, you know, they just didn't seem, it was all route one down on top of Johnny Glynn. And, you know, that surprised me. But I suppose, look, there's a lot of pressure on this Galway team. You know, like, they're looking to do back-to-back All-Irelands. And to be fair, there's a lot of pressure coming on them from inside their own county. You know, past players coming out saying that it's their All-Ireland to lose. And, you know, as a player, you don't want to be hearing this. You don't want to be seeing this. And, you know, no matter how much you try to put it out of your head, you know, it's still creeping in. And to me, maybe, you know, things have to be done differently up there to take a little bit of pressure off this team, because, you know, it looked like they played with a lot of pressure on their shoulders yesterday. And I suppose when they went to 9 points up, everyone said, you know, they're flying. But I suppose there was a lot of maybe chinks in the armour shown by Clare in the last probably 60 to 70.
You've been in that position. You know the sort of pressure that comes on to go back to back. How do you remove yourself? How can you get away from people talking to you all the time and that expectation that's automatically there?
Well, yeah, look, obviously the expectation is there. And, you know, I think Galway were All-Ireland favourites from the start of the year, and deservedly so. But, you know, you just need to try and, I suppose, take yourself out of that situation, you know, as a management, a group of players. And I think they have done it extremely well. You know, we haven't seen players in the media, but, you know, when the pressure is coming from within your own county, that's when, you know, that's when things start to creep in. And, you know, I certainly, you know, when I was playing with Kilkenny, we never got that pressure from within the county. Like, we never had past players coming out saying that, you know, it's Kilkenny's to lose. You know, there was never any of that pressure. Okay, from outside the county, you know, media and everything kind of built us up. But, you know, you'd take that and that's what it's there for. But, you know, certainly I just think that that little bit of pressure has started to maybe creep in on some guys.
Yeah, that's the difficulty, I guess, Terence, for this Galway side. They're in uncharted territory now of trying to go back to back. And they're not just listening to pundits and media telling them that they're the best team in the country. They've had to listen for the last 6 months to people telling them they're comfortably the best team in the country, that they're a step above everybody else. Even though, when you do look back last year, it was a puck of a ball between themselves and Tipperary in an All-Ireland semi-final. It went down to the last 5 minutes against Waterford. And it is very difficult when you're not used to that, when you're not used to dealing with that pressure, to remove yourself and to make sure you have the same drive as you had 12 months ago.
Yeah, I think in any game and not there, Richie is obviously wore the T-shirt not there, but in any game, the biggest thing going into a game, your head has to be right. Like, if... like, you can do all the training and that there, but it's like the intensity. Like, Glenn, there wasn't enough Galway players around for the breaking balls off Glenn. You know, like, if you look at the statistics of it and that there, I'm not sure, but Glenn was breaking a lot of balls, but they were being picked up by Clare men all the time.
And is that a sign that they got it tactically wrong or they're not working hard enough?
I would say that's a sign that they're not working hard enough and not there and not there. Like, they were relying on him to catch the ball, as Richie says. It was route one, it was plan A, and there was no plan B, and they weren't working hard enough. Now, maybe last year they'd have been in sniffing about getting a breaking ball and getting off and not there, but like, that Galway team has been well prepared and they're a big, strong team, and we all said it and everybody says it's there to lose. And it's hard not to. You have to call a thing now. You see it. Like, you can't run around and out there. They are a super team and out there. And we all know if Galway come with plan A, they're going to take some beating. And is anybody capable of beating if Galway come and they all perform and out there? They are a class act. And it's hard not to make them favourites and out there. But as Richie says, Clare showed signs yesterday that they have faults and if you're a Galway man now, you've got to go and ask yourself, do we want this? And if they lose a couple of players through injuries, it's going to be hard for them.
Well, that's a hard thing to fix over 7 days as well. If there is something just ever so slightly off with the mentality, because I assume the next week is just going to be about recovery. There's no great time to get everyone in a room and say, lads, this is last chance saloon, let's get this together.
No, if you're Galway manager this morning, the first phone calls you're making is to find out, is my players fit? Who's going to make it? Who's not going to make it? Who might make it? Like, if you lose Buchanan and McInerney, that's a 6 and 11 away. They're big, big, big players. That changes the whole demonics of your team and that there. But it's all about getting recovery and getting the head right. There's no hurling been done now. There's nothing you're going to do in a week that's going to change anything. You just have to try and get that hunger and find something and circle the wagons and get that mentality that we're going to go back to back here.
Yeah, it's almost pointless previewing the replay until we hear from Galway as to just how serious those injuries are, because Dahi Burke started yesterday's game with a heavily strapped ankle. Garage McInerney went off early. Joe Canning looked as though he jarred his knee somewhere, which is one of those that could be a very quick fix, or it could be something that could potentially end the season. We just won't know. If they were to somehow end up missing 1, 2, 3 of those players, it's a totally different game. It's a totally different Galway.
Absolutely. Do you know, like, you look at the spine of your team, and that's where 3 of those players play. You know, you have Dahi Burke at 3, McInerney at 6, and Joe at 11. So, you know, missing one of those players is huge. But if you're missing 2, potentially 3 of them, but then, as Terence said, the whole complexion of the game changes. And, you know, as you said, you can't really preview it until you find out, are these players going to be, you know, fit or not? And we're probably not going to know that until 2 o'clock next Sunday, being honest about it, you know. So it's going to be kind of sitting and waiting for Micheál Donoghue, and, you know, all he can work on now is just getting guys fresh, you know, sitting down during the week, maybe analysing the game, looking at, you know, things they've done right and obviously things that they've maybe done wrong, and just kind of try and prepare it there. But, you know, I think overall it's really over to the players now. I think the players have to take this on themselves and get together and say, right, lads, you know, would you call it a scare? You know, it obviously was a scare for them. you know, but I think they got that the first day in the Leinster final. So I was just surprised a little bit with the kind of the lacklustre performance of some of the Galway players yesterday.
There's been a lot of talk this year about calendar, and it even feels unusual to have the two hurling semi-finals on the same weekend. It's very condensed, and there's been a lot of brilliant things with the new round robin series, but it does mean with the replay that it's going to be a packed schedule next weekend from the Super 8s. Dublin are playing Roscommon in a dead rubber at Croke Park, which means this game has to take place down in Thurles. There's meant to be under 21 hurling semi-final that's taking place as well. Presumably they're going to have to be called off. Should a game of this magnitude, should it be played down in Thurles?
I would have no problem with Thurles looking at, I don't know, for me personally, the ideal thing was throw one of the under 21s on and have a double header with one of the semi-finals under 21s. I would love to see Cork and Wexford too. It would make the worthwhile journey from the Glens of Antrim. Like.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea, and there's no reason why they can't do that. You know, obviously Galway are involved in the other semi-final. That'll probably be more than likely pushed back to the Wednesday night, I'd imagine, with two players involved. But again, I don't see any problem with Thurles. I think, you know, packed house in Thurles on any day is a great spectacle for hurling, and you're definitely going to have a sellout in Thurles next Sunday. And you know, we're just hoping for more of the same, really.
So Cork and Limerick will have to go some way to match yesterday's drama at Croke Park when they meet in the second of the All-Ireland hurling semi-finals at 3:30 this afternoon. A bumper crowd of over 70,000 expected at Croke Park today as Limerick look to reach the All-Ireland final for the first time in over a decade. Cork bidding to reach the decider for the first time since that replay defeat against Clare back in 2013. They come into the game as back-to-back Munster champions. One of the real success stories for John Myler in his first season in charge has been Dara Fitzgibbon, the current favourite for Young Hurler of the Year. Shane Stapleton has been talking to the Charleville midfielder.
Dara, first of all, you're a big snooker fan. Can you tell me how you got into snooker?
I suppose I'd be watching it at home the whole time, and a few of the lads would go to the local snooker club, and I'd go away. I wouldn't play any proper matches, but I'd go down as, I suppose, any off evenings I'd have a go play a bit of snooker around at home, so I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Did you find it a relaxing sort of thing, something completely different from hurling?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I was at a Ronnie O'Sullivan event last weekend, so it was very enjoyable.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to go up to chat to him, get an old selfie?
No, he was gone straight away. He played a few frames and he left straight away. So it was good.
Yeah, yeah. What's your highest break?
I'm only about 28 or 29, I'd say.
That's not bad, really.
Not too bad. So I got a bit lucky. I'm not accurate.
And have you invested in a queue?
Yeah, I have a queue.
Right, come on, so, tell us what did you spend?
I was about 40 euro, I think. I was playing well with it, so I decided to buy it. So.
Right, okay. I think Ken Doherty won the Masters and he only spent about £9 on his queue as well, so I don't think it matters too much. I saw on your Cork profile that your favourite player in sports out there is Kyrie Irving, the basketballer. He's with the Boston Celtics. Why is that?
Yeah, I'd be big into the basketball as well. I think his class, he's watched a few documentaries on YouTube on him, and he's really good.
Yeah, and what is it about him? You know, is it the position he plays? He's a very nimble sort of player, can score as well.
He plays point guard, so he's kind of sets the tone for everything, really. I suppose he's great hands, great feet as well.
Yeah, and you have speed down as the most important thing that you see is important in Gaelic games as well. Like, have you always been a fast player, or did you get a bit of a spurt later on?
Yeah, I suppose quick enough, but I suppose in today's game speed is hugely important. It's getting quicker every day, so I suppose it's gone from the physicality of small rig to more speed and hurling, really.
When you look back at last year and the All-Ireland semi-final against Waterford, you've probably turned on that red card. Do you look back at last year as a year where, yes, we won Munster, but we could have got more out of it?
Yeah, I suppose the All-Ireland semi-final was a huge disappointment in the end. I suppose when anything goes down to 14 minutes, hard to win in this day and age, I suppose. But I think we look back on last year as a positive. I suppose we new players came in, new players came into the panel as well, and I suppose it was a new panel, really, and we got success, I suppose, winning Munster. No one really expected us to win it, so we look back and we take our learnings from last year, I suppose, with the defeat, but I suppose it was a huge positive and we use it to go again this year.
And what hurlers inspired you growing up?
I suppose in Cork, I suppose Ben O'Connor was the local legend, I suppose, around when we were growing up, and he's coaching us with Charleville at the moment as well with the club, so it's huge to have him involved with the club, I suppose, so I would have looked up to him when I was younger.
What sort of advice would he impart to you?
And I suppose he doesn't, like, he knows really what we're all going through, I suppose, having been there himself, like, so he knows, he doesn't really get involved that much with the inter-county scene, like, he knows, I suppose, there's enough people talking to us about it, so, he has a little few tips and tricks, but I suppose the coaching is going well at the club at the moment with him, so.
Cork star Fitzgibbon there talking to Shane Stapleton ahead of today's game against Limerick, the All-Ireland semi-final at Croke Park at 3:30. Richie spoke about speed, how he felt it was massively important in the inter-county game, and you can understand why, because we saw right from the opening day of the round robin series against Clare, this guy is lightning quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose he's after breaking onto the scene in the last couple of seasons, and again, he was a name that was on everyone's lips down in Cork, because we'd have relations down in Cork, and they said to really look out for this guy. And, you know, he's really, you know, taking that midfield role into his own, you know. And when he does take off from one of these kind of, I won't say lazy solo runs, but like, he just leaves people in his wake, and he pops up with some of the most outrageous scores that you're going to see in games. And look, the open space at Croke Park is really going to suit this guy today.
How do you see the lay of the land with this game between Cork and Limerick, Terence? Because there's so much talent, individual talent, on both these teams. Both of them just need this one breakthrough victory at Croke Park to bring them to the next level.
Yeah, this is the one game this weekend that all the experts couldn't separate. There's no matter what way you talk about it, you can counteract it not there. But like that 3-4-5 years ago, Cork were fifth place in Munster, probably. Everybody was saying, and I can remember reading an article, if Kerry was playing a Munster Championship, they'd be ahead of Cork. This Cork team has come on in the last 4 or 5 years, leaps and bounds, and Limerick seemed to be a team that, I think, of 3 under-21s or 4 under-21s in 6 years. The Palin, the bench that Limerick have, I think, is phenomenal. There's players in that bench of Limerick would probably walk on every other team in Ireland, and out there they're phenomenal. But Cork come overnight, but it's raining outside. It's a nil, slippy, muggy day. Is that going to suit the Cork forwards? Like, and the one issue that Cork I know tried to work on a lot of time, they've got lovely hurlers. There's no doubt about it. As nice a hurler as it is in the country, if you let them hurl. But Limerick, I don't think, is going to let them hurl today. Limerick's going to be in their face from the word go. And it's all going to come down to character. If you're going to get a score of the day, I feel, in that Cork forward line, you're going to have to earn it.
The physicality then of this Cork team that has been questioned. Have you seen enough this season? And we've seen a lot of Cork with the round robin and winning back-to-back Munster titles now. That's changing? That they are strong enough for these big occasions?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I suppose I've been a little bit critical of Cork this year myself, and I've taken a bit of slack for it on social media. But look, definitely, I think their performance in the Munster final really changed my perception of this Cork team. You know, they were 8 points down to Clare going into the halftime break. They got the goal just before halftime, and then their performance in the second half was just, you know, outstanding. And I think the one thing that really stood out to me was the players after the Munster final. You know, within 90 seconds of the final whistle, you had the likes of Anthony Nash and these guys saying they wanted to right the wrongs of last year's semi-final. And for me, that just showed a complete change in mentality of this Cork team. And I just think, you know, if they can get certain areas on the field, you know, sorted, I think, you know, Mark Ellis coming back in and maybe, and, you know, have they an issue at number three? I think that might be, you know, one area that Limerick are really going to look to go at today, you know. The Seamus Flanagan scored 5 points from playing the game down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, so I've no doubt that's an area that you know, Limerick are going to target today. But, you know, certainly I've gone for Cork to win today. I just think that, you know, their whole mentality has changed, and they just seem to me to be a lot mentally stronger than they have been in previous years.
You mentioned Anthony Nash. He's probably the most important player in this Cork team for a number of reasons, from his puck outs and how much time Limerick have to spend thinking about what he's going to do with his puck outs. It was interesting, we were talking to the former Clare hurler Derek Conan yesterday, and he felt in last year's Munster final that Clare wrapped himself up in knots trying to think about Anthony Nash's puck outs and forgot about the rest of the game. But also his leadership, and time again this season, when there's a short break in play, if someone goes down for an injury, Nash is out, he's sprinting 40, 50 yards, getting everybody together. He seems to be the glue that sticks this entire Cork plan.
Yeah, Nash's puck outs is a big, big thing to Cork's hurling out there. But don't forget that Limerick have an inside track of Nice's pockets. There's a man there that coached Nice all along, and coached Cork too with Nice's pockets. So Nice's pockets, I think, he's not going to be able to do what he has been doing. I think the pockets strategy, Limerick will counteract that today big time. And I think the likes of young Coleman out there, they're going to have to defend. They're going to have to be more traditional halfback. They're going to have to defend a lot more in that there and out there. But I think this is going to be a great game. This is the one game that all week I've been looking forward to. And I generally don't know what way it's going to go on out there. But the hurlers are on the field today and out there. And anything could happen. Like Limerick could win this game by 5-6 points, or Cork could win this game by 5-6 points. And you could stand here and argue all about it, but I don't think, I don't know your man's name, but he was involved with Cork for years, and he worked with Nice and Pockouts, and he's now involved with Limerick. I'm not sure of his name, but so he would have to have an inside in Nash's Pockets and counteract that.
What is the best way to counteract Nash's Pockets? Do you push right up on the defenders and force them to go long?
Well, look, I think Galway proved that yesterday, you know, and pushing up on Clare's players. So I think in order to counteract, I think that's what Waterford done last year as well. Do you know, like you just push up, you go man for man and make Nash go long, because probably Cork don't have the biggest set of forwards, you know, the tallest, but they have this, obviously their speed there, and that's where Nash wants to pick out the space for these guys to run into. So I think that's the one way to counteract this Cork team, because, you know, as we know, Anthony Nash is, you know, very, very important, and that's where a lot of Cork's, you know, big game plans kind of start.
So you're trying to force them to put it down the middle somewhere where Keane Lynch can really influence the game?
Absolutely. Do you know, like, and we saw how good Limerick's half-back line are in the air against Kilkenny in the quarter-final. You know, Morrissey and Dermot Burns across the half back line completely dominated Kilkenny, and you've Declan Hannan then shoring up the middle. So, you know, if I was Limerick, I'd want the puckouts to be coming down on top of these three guys.
These Limerick players have been brought up now in a diet of success, from underage level and a Pearsig winning All-Ireland, club titles. How important is that when you go into Croke Park on days like this, knowing that throughout your career, when it comes to big matches, you have delivered?
That is the big question. Like, can Limerick produce it in Croke Park? They can hurl in it. There's nobody's question Limerick's hurling, but it's bringing that to Croke Park, and they have to do it, and they have to. But I think these players have grew up with Cork players. Them Cork players, a lot of them have played under 21 against each other and out there, and there's no fear of them out there. And I think you see signs in this Limerick team that their confidence, they're not getting carried away. They seem to be a real level-headed bunch of fellas, and they're focused on All-Ireland. But then again, Cork, as Richie says, Cork have to show progression. Winning the Munster title wasn't good enough for Cork this year. They have to now go on and show that they're progressing. But it's intriguing, like.
The changing coach for Cork doesn't seem to have made a huge amount of difference, that they've continued with the momentum that they built up last year. John Myler's influence, though, over the first 6-7 months since he took charge, since he succeeded Kieran Kingston, has he gone about it the right way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it was a huge decision for the Cork County Board to make, and, you know, maybe it was a personal decision of Kieran's to step away, but, you know, it was never easy for John to come in, I suppose, especially after the disappointment of the All-Ireland semi-final last year, when, you know, everyone talking up Cork were hot favourites to win that game, to get to an All-Ireland final. But John has come in, you know, he's brought in guys with him. I know his own son David is playing an instrumental part in it as well, just kind of coming in, talking to the players, you know, from a professional background. You know, so I think the setup in Cork has always been, you know, top quality. But to me, they just looked that little bit mentally tougher this year. And maybe they've, you know, had a bit of kind of work done with some players in particular. But look, it's been a phenomenal job by John. But, you know, if they're beaten today, you know, he's in the same boat as Kieran was last year. And
the pressure comes on quickly.
Yeah, and is the season going to be seen as a success? I don't think so, because, you know, Munster titles aren't enough for the people in Cork anymore. I think they're really crying out for an All-Ireland title. And, you know, I've no doubt that they're going to give it everything they possibly can to get to the showpiece on today.
The Limerick full forward line then, and the pressure they can put on that Cork full back line, is that potentially the key area of the pitch?
Yeah, I think so. I think if Limerick can, you know, create enough space in front of these guys, the Graham Mulcahy's, the Flanagans, you know, I think they have the pace and the power to cause Cork problems. But for me, I think Limerick overall, you know, I think this team really came of age the last day against Kilkenny, and not just because it was Kilkenny, but, you know, the way they responded to Richie Hogan's goal was phenomenal. I personally thought when Richie got that goal, I kind of said in my own head, we'll hang on here now and we'll hang on to win by 2 or 3 points. But to go up the field and get the next 3 scores just really showed the maturity that this team has grown into. You know, people saying it's a very young team, but to me, young teams like that, to show maturity like that, you know, really proves that these guys are aiming a lot bigger, you know, and, you know, it could very well be this year.
Sean O'Donnell is the man you're talking about, who is the inside line on Anthony Nash and his mindset and what he's going to try and do today. If it is as tight as everyone expects, then it's probably going to come down to the influence and the impact that the substitutes can make. And you touched on it there, Limerick, even if you look at the opposite ends of the pitch, from Seamus Hickey at fullback to Shane Dowling up in the full forward line, they've players who can come on, who can fit in instantly and make an impact.
Yeah, I think their bench is probably as good a bench since the Kilkenny team at this man had. They have fierce quality sitting on that bench. And if it comes down to subs, you would have to go with Limerick here. You know, they do have the stronger bench, I think, overall, not there. And as you were saying earlier on, like John Myler, the Cork team, this Cork team, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, like, there wasn't a way lot wrong with Cork last year. It's just a... Everybody would say just a wee bit more mentally strong, mentally tougher, not there. And they have worked on it. And I think we're seeing a stronger mentally Cork team this year too.
Have they a bit more depth than last year? Because I think in last year's 4 championship games, they started with the same 15 in every game.
Yeah, no, I think there is a strength and depth in the Cork panel. But, you know, I think when you get a settled team, as Terence said, like, if it's not broke, you don't fix it, you know. And I think Cork got that last year. You know, they were very, very settled with their team because it was the best 15 players they could get on the field. And I think it's the same with a lot of teams at the moment. Like, you look at probably yesterday's semi-final, you know, teams went back to bringing on players that they'd already taken off. Like, I don't see that happening with this Cork and Limerick side today, because, as Terence said, this Limerick panel is phenomenal. Like, when you have the likes of a Shane Dowling, who's won 2 club All-Ireland medals, you know, ready to come on and make an impact, Seamus Hickey at fullback, you know, that to me shows huge strength and depth in the Limerick setup. And if I was to pick one that has the strongest panel, I think Limerick are probably a good bit ahead on that front.
Terence McNaughton and Richie Power, my guests in studio this morning. 087-4100-102 is the number for your texts. En route to Dublin on the train, best wishes to Limerick senior hurlers and management in Croke Park today, especially clubmen Dan and Tom Morrissey. Limnock Abu Kamanahan, the spuds are boiling, say Ashling and John in Ahane. And it already seems that there's going to be a huge Limerick crowd up today. We can see from the text that they're all on the road good and early. And it's going to be one of those real special Croke Park atmospheres. Both these sides have waited probably too long to make that breakthrough, to get back into an All-Ireland hurling final. And by the sounds of what you're saying, you're going to have to get off the fence at some stage and give us a prediction that it's going to be too close to call.
Yeah, well, Richie can go first. He's a smarter man than me.
Well, you see, we got Richie here today because we wanted 2 neutrals, but then his son Rory arrived in wearing a Cork jersey, and I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, he's wearing a Cork jersey. The reason being is because Limerick beat Kilkenny, so that's the reason being. Yeah, he wants to. Whereas I'd be on the other side, you know, if you're beaten by a team, that's the team that I'd like to see go on and maybe push for an All-Ireland title.
So he's taking it to heart that...
He took it to heart that day coming out of Turles, all right.
Is he going to bring the little hurl with him to Croke Park, and any Limerick man he sees will be getting a belt of it?
He has it, all right, but I don't know, will he get it into Croke Park? But,
I think he spent more time on the Croke Park pitch than many inter-county players.
He did, yeah. He's been there through it all with me, you know, which is great. And there's some, you know, really fond memories and photos that I got, I suppose. Especially the last day.
There's a brilliant photo of yourself and John and Rory on the pitch together.
Yeah, you know, in 14 and 15, and I suppose 2015 was special because he was on the field and we had a quick puck around before I finished up. So it was nice. You know, they're pictures and they're memories that you'll have for life. So, but I suppose, look,
call it
today. I went for Cork during the week. You know, mainly because I just felt that mentally they're a bit stronger and just their whole attitude after the Munster final win. But looking out at that weather this morning, you know, if it stays like that, I think my perception just changes a little bit because, you know, you look at the Cork forward line, unbelievable stick men, you know, speed, you know, they want the ground dry, they want that ball hopping. And I just think, you know, if conditions are a little bit on the damp side, it's going to suit Limerick that little bit more. But It is, look, it's very, very, very hard to call. I suppose I can't really change my prediction from midweek. I still fancy Cork. I just think they're going to really build on the experience of last year. I think the hurt of last year's defeat might just be enough to get them over the line. But I still think, you know, this Limerick team is a team for the future. And I just think today might just come that little bit too soon for them.
I wouldn't underestimate the belief Limerick now have after beating Kilkenny. This was massive. Our biggest win in 45 years was the text in from Dennis. Best of luck to Kate Liston from Limerick, who's also going to be a flag bearer in Croke Park today. Kate is a massive Limerick hurling fan. Going to be a huge honour to be on the pitch with the Limerick hurling team at Croke Park. Say hi to the three Ambrose girls from Ardagh in County Limerick. Kate, Roisin and Maeve on the road as well. Limnook Caboo and up the Rebels. Finally, a text. The Cork people are hitting the road from Willie, Mags and Billy O'Brien on the way to Dublin. Terence, I think you want to stay firmly on the fence and not commit to either side. Do you think the weather's going to play a big factor as well?
Yeah, I do. I think this, Richie said, like them, Cork Forest, Lahan and Hodgie and these boys, they want a nice crisp ball summer's evening. That's what they want to hurl in out there. And if it comes down to where it's, there's rucks and that there and a ball skating about and that there, I think it'll maybe favour Limerick. No, I told your colleague Shane back in May, I think it was, I fancied Limerick to cause a few upsets this year, so
he kept it to himself.
Yeah. But I've done Limerick each way as a bet, along with a couple of,
so you're going to stick with
this, so I'm not going to change that there, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cork won this game, it'd go either way.
What's the plan with Antrim? Are you going to go back in for another year? Obviously, a disappointing season overall.
Yeah, it was in results. We had very bad luck, and Joe McDonough was a great competition. We lost a few injuries and an old square ball decision that I don't know where it comes out of, and we things like that there and that there. Of another year with sad stories, just to add to all the money I have.
Will you go back at it again?
I don't know. We'll have a talk about it not there. If there's a new face about, like, the one thing, there's not many queuing up for the job.
Yeah. Richie, I know you went back playing with the club and you won an All-Ireland Intermediate title last year. You've had huge injury problems. You're still only, what, 32?
Yeah.
You could still be out there.
Well, yeah.
How's the body?
I'd love to be out there, but look, unfortunately, the body's not good. The knee's not good. I'm currently undergoing a bit of stem cell treatment in Cork, but... I made a decision probably two and a half months ago to call it a day at club level as well. So, look, it's just more long term decision in my eyes. I want to be able to, you know, walk around. I want to be able to run around, puck around with Rory. So, you know, from a long term and a kind of a comfortable position, it's time to call it a day. And, you know, look, it's disappointing for me because I was looking forward to going back to the club and giving another couple of years there, but. You know, unfortunately, when the body shuts down and it stops working, it's time to walk away.
You're doing a bit of coaching?
Yeah, I've done a small bit. I was involved with the Offaly Camogies this year. I really enjoyed it. You know, great group of girls, great bunch of girls. I suppose similar to Terence there, we kind of had a misfortune of a very, very late goal into injury time against Tipperary, which knocked us out of the championship. But look, it was enjoyable. It was my first kind of, I suppose, step into that side of things, and you know, maybe it's something that I'll look at in the future.
Cody need to start watching his back?
No, definitely not.
A Richie Power, Tommy Walsh dream team?
Yeah, well, I think Tommy now would be more suited to it than I would, but look, we'll see how that goes. I don't think Brian is going anywhere in the not so distant future.
On the way from Glenbeigh, County Kerry, to see the Rebels beat Limerick, say hello to Christian, Sue, Ben and Leah in the car up Cork. Hello to Charlie, Eva, Marie and Dad Martin heading up to Croker as well. Kirky Aboo, and one final Limerick text from Kieran Connor and Tom McLaughlin, who are supporting Limerick this afternoon. Lads, thanks a lot for coming into studio this morning. You can listen back to this on the website. We'll podcast it. Alison Curtis is up next, and we'll be back next Sunday morning. Enjoy the game.
It's DFM's Championship Sunday with Boyle Sports. For GAA betting with more markets than ever before, visit their app, Boyle Sports. Time to play. To DFM.